There's Democratic candidates pledging their support to the Black Lives Matter movement at the debate, but that doesn't appear to be enough for this radical movement. They're now demanding an opportunity of their very own presidential debate. And according to the Washington Post, the DNC is reportedly allowing the, quote, Black Lives Matter group to host a presidential town hall. Really? Here with reaction, CRN, KRLA, radio host Larry Elder, Fox News political analyst Juan Williams. So let me get this. Your Democratic Party, not all lives matter, Black Lives Matter. Your Democratic Party is going to allow the pigs in a blanket, fryer-like bacon group to host a Democratic forum? What's wrong with your party? Don't you find that? Why don't you let the Klan host a party?
Welcome to Angry Black Rand.
And I have to tell you, you know, Obamacare is really, I think, the worst thing that has happened in this nation since slavery.
You're in a universe and 2 + 2 = 4. Mm-hmm. 2 + 2 only = 4 if you accept that 2 + 2 = 4.
If there's any atheists in the house, let me say you stupid motherfuckers. I don't care what God you believe in. You gotta be a special kind of retarded to be too stupid to make up a God if there wasn't one.
And then all of a sudden, then we were evolved from monkeys. Why we still got monkeys?
Nigga, hush.
Welcome to Angry Black Rant, a podcast dedicated to covering religion, social issues, current events, and anything worth covering, which will be seen through the eyes of an angry black atheist. I am your host, HNIC, company man by day, angry black ranter by night, Ishmael Brown. And as you can tell from my intro, I am flying solo, but fuck it, the show must go on. And today's date is Thursday, October 28th, and this is episode 14, another bonus episode. Now, before we get started, I just wanted to let you know today's show is going to be a little bit shorter. Obviously, it's just me by myself, and you guys can only take that for so long. I love to talk. I love the back and forth. But when you're alone, there aren't any back and forth. There's just forths or backs, right? Which one is it? Fourth or back? There's time. See, this is what you guys get when it's just me. If there was someone else, they would have cut in. Said some shit I didn't like, and I could have told him to shut up or something like that. That's my secret. Keep people around, and when I fuck up and they point it out, I tell them to shut up and I move along. But before we go, I wanted to give a little, there was a few things I wanted to talk about from a couple past episodes. One was from last week's episode. After I posted it, I listened to it, and I gotta say, I was a little bothered by what I talked about in a way, not bothered by talking about it, but I was bothered when I heard myself say, you know, I told somebody to shut the fuck up. Growing up how I grew up, that's nothing, you know. I say shut up a lot, as you can probably tell, but I'm kind of in, I feel like I've been in a transition mood ever since I left the inner city and went to college, and I still have some residue from that. So saying it, I didn't think anything of it, and I don't say it much. I mean, unless I'm in some, it's never like in a debate or anything, obviously, but if I'm in some big time argument or something, and especially if like we're drinking and just, you know, and it gets a little heated, I'm pretty quick with my words and I'm pretty sharp with it. And that's just, you know, it's just how I grew up and how things are and just the way I talk, you know. But just hearing it, it made me feel weird. Like you know, why are you saying shut the fuck up to somebody? You know, it's, I don't mind swearing. I don't mind telling people to shut up. But for some reason, it just didn't feel right. So I told myself, I need to make a conscious decision to try and not be that aggressive, especially when it's over a disagreement. I mean, I can come on here and I can talk about people and I can tell, you know, Ben Carson to shut the fuck up, you fucking idiot, and stuff like that. But when I'm having a conversation with someone, whether it's over the phone or in person or just speaking directly to someone, even online, I always try to win my debates, discussions, arguments, disagreements with, you know, logic and reason. And then I guess sometime when you're not doing debates and you're just arguing, and it just brings the street out of me, and it brings the, I don't know. But yeah, I just felt kind of weird about it. So I said to myself, yeah, you should probably try not to talk that way. Like, to anybody, a man, a woman, anyone. It's just, it's not productive. It doesn't really, it doesn't put myself in the best light, I don't think. And so I listened to it, but I didn't want to take it out. I didn't want to change it because it is what happened. And I wanted, and that my whole reason for talking about it was because I wanted to ask and get your feedback if I could be considered a feminist if I spoke to a woman that way, even if I spoke to a man that way. And again, I really don't care about the labels or anything like that, but it was definitely something I just, I probably will try my best not to say anymore. At least unless I'm joking, or like I said, unless I'm talking about someone on the podcast. So this is you seeing the evolution of my character, I guess you can say. I don't know. Just didn't feel great. I wonder if I recorded it, how I would have felt hearing myself telling someone to shut the fuck up. Because it's the fact that I'm talking about it bothered me. Hearing it must really sound pretty harsh, but I don't know. So yeah, that was something I wanted to just kind of put out there and maybe get your feedback as far as that goes. Another thing I wanted to talk about, a couple weeks back, Kim and I had the conversation about, you know, being African American, being at work. It was based on the story that was about the study that showed African Americans have to work twice as hard. I think that's what it was focused on. But it also talked about how we were perceived in the workplace and things like that. And one thing I didn't cover, and it probably was because Kim's not a atheist. So, you know, it was just conversation and I was kind of seeing it on where we both had common ground. But my experience as an atheist, it's interesting because I live in Los Angeles, and Los Angeles is liberal. But as you know, it's still America, a very religious country. And I remember people there know I'm an atheist. I was pretty outspoken. Everyone was cool. And then we got this new woman in HR, black woman, and religion came up, and she talked about how she didn't, I forget, like, she said something like she didn't believe in the Bible or something like that. Not believe in the Bible, but she didn't put too much weight on it. And so, but she was a Christian and she believed in God and everything like that. But I kind of kept my mouth shut because, you know, this is someone who was in the company that we're in. HR is, they're also head of accounting. They're also like, it's a very powerful position. And so I kind of kept my atheism quiet around her. Not like if she asked, I would never hide it. But, you know, being African-American, I only know, or at the time, I only knew religious African-Americans. I didn't know any atheists. This is before I went online and really started meeting other African-American atheists. And then one time someone in the office sneezed, and it's a small office. And I said, bless you, because I still say that. That doesn't bother me saying stuff like that. And this girl stood up and was like, wow, you're the last person I think would ever say that. And this black woman ended up being a really great black woman that I look up to. I'm actually still friends with. I'm kind of ruining the end of the story. But she came out of the office and was like, why would he be the last person to say that, you know? And I think it must have been me who said it. I was, or because I don't think the girl said it. I'm pretty sure I did. I said, this was like over a year ago, so I can't remember too much. But I said, oh, I'm an atheist. And she was very surprised. She's like, really? You're an atheist, you know? And she said, wow. And she was like, well, and she said something like, you know, I don't believe the Bible and stuff like that, but to not believe in God, or I forget how she worded it. But ever since that moment, I was kind of nervous there. I was kind of on pins and needles, like, you know, I didn't know how it was going to backfire. And it didn't, luckily. Like I said, her and I are still friends, but I just wanted to bring that aspect into the conversation, not only being black at work, but being an atheist. And this goes for anyone. You don't have to be black and an atheist, but just being an atheist is enough. But to have the added stress that Kim and I were talking about in the, not the last episode, the episode before that. So I believe it was episode 12, if you want to go back and listen. But to be an atheist, and even now with the women in the same position and other people I meet as far as professionally, when I have a feeling they may be Republican, I'm very wary of them knowing I'm an atheist. And that's probably because the few negative experiences I've had in my career have been with, unfortunately, mainly with Republicans. So, and just, you know, living in America, seeing the extreme of the Republican Party, I just always am cautious around, I'm pretty cautious around everyone. But, you know, oh, they're Republican, they're probably religious. I don't want to be, you know, black and an atheist. That's a two-time loser right there. In the end, I don't care, because if I get fired for being an atheist, I wouldn't, you know, I'd deal with it and move on. But I kind of hold it back a little, you know, and it's interesting because, I mean, I'm in L.A. People are out who are gay. It's a very obviously liberal place and very supportive. But even out here, being an atheist, you never really know. You never know. And who knows, maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe like the black woman who was, you know, and never was brought up after that. You know, maybe it's just me. But as I was talking about the studies, they talk about black people being more stressed at work and stuff like that. So maybe the stress that I already have as a black man, very kind of insecure professionally, being an atheist just compounds that. Because then I really feel like alone, or maybe not alone, but that's just another thing that they may try and use against me. So I was kind of disappointed I didn't talk about that. When I listened to the episode, I thought about it and I was like, man, I did not talk about my experience as an atheist. So that was something I wanted to talk to you guys about so you can see another level of being an atheist, being a black man professionally and how we navigate everything. So anyway, like I said, it's going to be a short show. I'm going to talk about the opening clip, and then I'm going to add on the last part. It feels like it was so long ago. The last part of the conversation Kim and I had, it was sort of in relations to the being black at work. It's the topic is basically being black, talking white, and we based it off an article we read. And hopefully you guys find it entertaining and informative in some way and not boring as shit. So let's get it started. Let's go to the opening clip and let's have some fun. Peace.
Out in the street, they call it murder.
So the opening clip was Sean Hannity talking shit on a shitty show on a shitty segment called Race in America. He was sitting with a couple of shitty guys, one named Juan Williams, one named Larry Elder, and both are brothers, so you already know what's happening on that segment. He brought these black guys on, and like most Fox shows, you bring black guys on so they can co-sign your bigoted, racist, or just plain ignorant speech. And the ignorant shit Hannity wanted to talk about was the Black Lives Matter movement, and of course he needed to compare it to something. And since maybe it's a little too early to start calling them Nazis like they do with gay people and they do with healthcare and everything else, Hannity dialed it down and said, hey, the Democratic National Committee allowing a group like BLM to host a town hall meeting is just as bad as the Ku Klux Klan hosting one. Now, this is definitely something I've seen many times over where they give these false equivalencies for these type of groups. So now Black Lives Matter is the same as the KKK people who have lynched black people, who have terrorized black people for years and years, many of those years legally doing so, many of those years doing so as police officers. So now the Black Lives Matter movement is the KKK. And I saw this happen with the Black Panthers recently, too. And it's been happening with the Black Panthers since their creation. But recently I was on, I think it was a Facebook conversation or talking to someone. It was a couple months back, actually. And someone was relating ISIS and saying, well, ISIS, they need a counter movement. You know, they need someone They said ISIS was Malcolm X and they needed a Martin Luther King. They said ISIS was the Black Panthers and they needed a Martin Luther King. And I asked them, how the hell is Malcolm X or the Black Panthers fucking ISIS? You know what I mean? I'm like, please tell me what the Black Panthers did, what Malcolm X did, that you even can begin to equate the two. And the guy said, it had to be Facebook because the guy went away. He never replied. I'm sure he went and Googled it and looked for it and wanted to look at all the atrocities the Black Panthers did. Like, you know, stopping Chicago's most powerful street gangs from warring with each other. Other atrocities like free breakfast for children, which the Black Panthers set up. And I'm not saying they were blameless or they had no blood on their hands. But I definitely do not see them as a terrorist organization. I see them as a group of people who were tired of being murdered by the police and said, well, we're going to defend ourselves. We're going to pick up arms legally, carry guns, and we're going to defend ourselves. So to equate them with ISIS, I don't even know what the fuck he's talking about. But anyway, getting back to your boy Hannity, and I got to say, the two guys who we brought on to be co-signed actually didn't just go with them. Larry Elder, he can never really do it 100%, but Juan Williams stopped him and said, I think you're reading it wrong. I think you're reading into that and no one's seeing them like that, because Hannity kept focusing on the pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon, which was something that happened. I think it was like a Seattle protest and there was chance of pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. And I just love that because he kept saying it. That's all he had. Because they said that, they're the KKK. Can you believe that? Like, let's pretend Black Lives Matter movement is like absolutely hate cops. They don't. But let's say they hate cops. They're like, fuck the police. I wish all the cops would fucking die, blah, blah, blah. That does not touch the fucking KKK. It does not touch them. The KKK has blood on their fucking hands. So even if they were as bad as he made it seem, or even a little bit worse with the analogy I gave, still not fucking close. But that's all Hannity has. What else can he do? And he knows who he's speaking to. He's speaking to his audience. They're going to eat it up. You know, it does not matter if it's not true. It does not matter if they go to break, come back. He allows Juan Williams to speak and lay it out why Hannity's completely wrong. All his audience heard is that the Democratic Party hosting, allowing Black Lives Matter to host a town hall meeting is like the KKK hosting some kind of Republican. Well, I noticed he didn't say Republican, but that's essentially who the fuck else is going to go to a town hall meeting hosted by the KKK but the Republicans. But he would never say that because Republicans aren't racist. But yeah, so I just wanted to put that up as an intro clip because I saw it and I laughed because it's something I hear a lot, as I was saying with the Panthers, with Malcolm X, with anyone from history that isn't as shiny or clean as, let's say, Christopher Columbus. Well, we all can be Columbus, can't we? Out. What you brought up was something I also wanted to talk about, the way we spoke. And there was an article that we recently read regarding Black people being accused of talking white. The thing I found interesting about that was I wanted to give a quick, I'm all about anecdotal shit today, but when I first started working at that place, there was this dude there who thought he was from the streets. He was corny, though, but he thought he was from the streets and he was a so-called rapper and stuff like that. But when I'm at work, I'm very professional and I try not to bring the streets myself. All I am is a professional. I try to talk a certain way. I'm very articulate. I try to, you know, when I say I'm a company man and I wear a mask and shit like that at work, I mean that. I don't mean it wholeheartedly like it's not me. It is. It's just like, you know, you're professional with your friends. And then when you get outside, you let your hair down and this and that. So this dude, him and I started having a bit of a back and forth. So the guy actually says to me at one point, cause he would try and talk about guns. He was in the army at some point in his life. And he would be like, he would say something like, yo, my brother got in a beef back home. And, he was asking to borrow the gas. And he's saying it in front of people, in front of White people, and not just race, but just like people who aren't. First of all, I don't even know who you would say that around anyway, unless it was other gun toters. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's such a stupid thing to fucking talk about. So anyway, but whenever he tried to talk about that and other stuff, I'm just professional. It's an office environment. I'm not, you know, I don't get into that stupid shit. He knows nothing about me. So then at one point, he says to me in front of everyone, or not in front of everyone, in front of a couple of people, he says, he says something like, you fucking sell out or some shit like that. Right. Like, I'm not black and shit, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not black. And I found that interesting because I knew if I talked to the dude outside of work, he would see I was very different. He was just a stupid person. And I think a part of it is he was fake. Like, he wasn't even like a real hood street guy. He was a guy who maybe grew up, had some experience. It doesn't matter if it was real or not. Right. But anyway, so, and it immediately, you bringing that up reminded me of the article we read regarding the actor and what was it called?
You Talk White, being black and articulate.
Yeah, being black and articulate. So this was one of those opinion pieces on Huffington Post, and it was written by Keith Powell. So it's a pretty interesting read. He initially talks about, I don't know how true this is. I never trust actors when they have these fanciful stories. He says, I used to go into meetings with a British accent, and I always thought that was good because British guys are looked at a certain way and blah, blah, blah. And he said people would ask him to talk white. And let me know if I'm telling it wrong, Kim, because I read it, but I may be getting it wrong. I read quite a few articles. And then he talks about people telling him he needs to speak more urban. And this was, I don't even know why he got into the British accent, because then he just talks about in general being a young black guy from Philadelphia. And they say you should speak more urban or speak more black.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he used to be very offended by that.
Yeah.
And then he talks about, he says he found it better to engage people by saying, well, how should a black person speak?
Right.
Let me read a little bit from it. So he says, all of my black friends have been told at some point or another during their lifetime that they talk white. I've been told it so many times I lost count. In some perverse way, though, I believe it's said as a way to come to an understanding that the person who says it doesn't know many different types of black people. Black people are generally seen as uneducated thugs. I do not appear to be an educated thug, therefore I must talk white. I'll just read a little more. It may not be pretty, but there's a level of trying to expose preconceived notion there that shouldn't go ignored. So since statements like that come from a, let's call it, an innocent place, as opposed to coming from a hateful place, it has become clear to me that it is important to not disengage. So this guy's essentially saying he gets that a lot. And it's funny because I get it from both places. I get it from if I speak the wrong way in front of the wrong person, and if I'm speaking, let's say, urban is the best way, or you can say like a thug, or you can say I grew up saying niggerish, you know, like you sound real niggerish. And
it's the truth. That's what they said.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So I've got it from both. So I had it from Do That Work, and I used to get it from, like, when I went back home after college, or I would go back home, they would say, man, you're pronouncing certain words a little different. That's crazy. But they wouldn't say it shitting on me, almost just like, yo, that's wild, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But recently I had it, and I'll give one more anecdote, and then I'll let you get in. Sorry for blabbing.
It's all good.
Recently I had it with the most recent girl I was with that you know about, that kind of went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Right.
She literally got scared in a weird way, but this is how... Ugh, I don't like using certain words, so let me chill. She may end up listening to this.
Right. But, so don't do me.
This is how I talk. I'm talking to the audience now. This is my normal voice. But I also can talk very, like, you know, very well spoken, and especially when it's
you
like...
You put a lift in it. There's a lift. Yeah. Smile.
Exactly.
There.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I lessen my voice and I'm like, hey, you know, how's it going? And something had happened, and I started talking to a very, like professional. Oh, and I had just gotten off the phone with someone where I was talking that way. And then I spoke to her and I think she was going through something. So it made me like soften my voice and like, and she was like, wait, why are you talking that way? And I was like, what? And she was like, wait, why did your voice? She's like, and she said, she was like, it's really kind of scaring me. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like
scared.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. This may have to do with other stuff. Right. But she goes, is that how you really talk? Like, and then she starts going, look, if that's how you talk, you don't have to like talk the other way. If, you know, you don't have to like almost accusing me of being phony.
Yes,
and I was like,
yes.
What? I was like, what? Like, because I've heard someone say, oh, that's crazy how you can switch it up. But she made it seem like I all of a sudden had a, I don't mm-hmm. even know. Like I started speaking another language. And to me, it's almost like speaking with an accent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
But it was such a weird thing. And I said to her, I'm like, it's so sad what you're saying right now. You seem like I pulled it. It's almost like she found out I was a white guy in blackface or some shit.
Right. That's how she reacted. It was like, oh, my God. You know, it was an odd reaction.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's not a normal
reaction.
Maybe
it's not odd. Maybe if she were white, we might have expected that.
And if it was the other way around, right?
Right.
Do you think? Or do you mean like, because some white girls may, or some just, yeah, some white girls may just want a thug. Because I've had that. I've had a girl pull me over once and was talking to me. And then when I started talking and saying I went to college, I could tell I was just turning off. It was like, she just thought I was some nigga walking down the street. Ready for war, and she probably wanted, like, you know what I mean? And I was like, nah, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she's like,
right.
Wait, you know how to read? Like, you know how to read? Oh, I'm sorry, wrong guy.
Right.
Because it was like 3 a.m, and this was a white chick just pulling up to me in this, like, Corvette. Like, it was weird. Anyway.
Could have been a sting operation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, so that was a weird experience, and it bothered me because I'm like, wait, what? Like, how are you reading this? And I just was like, okay, nah, it's true. She's like, nah, you could tell me. I'm like, no, whatever you think is true, that's fine. I'm okay with that. Like,
what's interesting to me is that she was shocked in any way being black. You know, I think that most black people who are working, employed, and this, that, and the other, they have a voice that they don't switch up who they are. It's just the sound, the tone of it changes in different situations, right? I mean, I thought that was pretty much everybody for the most part.
And maybe,
so that she was shocked is like, what the hell?
Like, where you been living?
Exactly. Now, and working.
Yeah, working. It's like that too. And I kind of said to her, I'm like, so if a person who grew up in a Hispanic household goes to work and they don't speak with a Spanish accent, but they go back home and they pronounce their words with a bit. I'm like, for one, I didn't find the confusion. I didn't understand the confusion. And I really didn't understand the extra fear kind of reaction.
Yeah, the fear was, that's what's peculiar. It's like, that was a bit much.
Yeah.
Fear of what? maybe that was fear that you were not being truthful. You know, maybe she's had experiences.
Yeah.
That's probably what it was stemming from. But to just be afraid because you use your words correctly is just a little bit much.
Yeah. So, but yeah. So anyway, I feel like I cut you off. So go ahead.
No. But you know, for my whole life, it's always been that way with me. It's like, okay, for black folks, I wasn't black enough. Right.
Mm-hmm.
For white folks, well, white folks never really told me there was anything wrong with me. You know, it was all good. Right. Except for the times that they would say that there was something I was not like, you know, you're not like everybody else, but whatever. But there's just a way you talk at home that you don't talk that way when you go to work. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's not talking white. It's just that that's a different environment. You know, it's a different environment. And, you know, what do we say? Fuckery all the time. Right. But at work, what do I call it? Fakari. Right. It's just on off chance that they want to fire somebody today. Let's just call it Fakari, right?
Yeah.
So we all change, you know, our tone. But what I find interesting, and I know you've observed this at work, I'm usually pretty much myself, like I said before the break, is I'm pretty much myself all the time because that's just where I'm comfortable. But when I have to deal with them, because they're bothering me or they're coming at me in some inappropriate way, I take myself to where they are, right? And I use their words and I speak in the way that they speak, which I do all the time. But I have to, there's an energy and a presence that you have to bring with it that I don't bring all day long, every day.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's not necessary. And when you do assert yourself in that way and you present yourself in that way, it freaks people out, especially them. They're like, oh, my God, wait a minute. Who is this? We didn't know. This is she's really not one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just the way I talk. It's how aggressive I am. Like, I'm not aggressive at work. I am so passive and I am so like, oh, you know, like, yeah, because
your size, your complexion, all of it. Now,
exactly.
You know what's up.
Exactly. Right. That, yeah. Which was an interesting thing, especially me being like, having the past that I've had, having that guy be like, oh, you're a sellout or whatever the fuck.
Oh, my God.
Said,
I hate that shit.
I'm just looking like, dude, if I saw you on the street, like, obviously I'm past all that. It's just like, but in a way, like I said last week about doing the podcast and people at work being like angry black rent, that's so not like you. That made me be like, then I'm doing my job well.
You're doing your job.
Exactly.
Your secret identity, you know, is all good. You're covered, you know.
Exactly.
But
so,
shit. But be called a sellout. Remember I told you, what was it, a few months ago when I discovered that that's what that I was at the job? That really hurt my feelings when I found that out. That people think that I am against us or brown people.
Because
who would
you
think
get
that?
Because you get along well with the white management, right? Or it
right.
could just be management. I think they may just see management. It's almost like a classism thing, kind of like, oh, because management likes you, because you can move in those circles, we down below, those who are considered like the dregs, you know,
right,
are like, you're not one of us. It's almost like being a house nigga, to be honest. That's really
well, that's
what
they what thought
it
I
is.
Was working against them. So every time somebody got screwed over, you know, then I was the reason why.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe that, because I just really couldn't believe it. And it made me wonder, okay, maybe I'm playing my part too well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then I realized that then there's that perspective, the one that called you a sellout. That was that kind of mentality. You know, if you're on the outside looking into a situation, the first thing most black folks and minorities will say is that somebody brown or black in the inner circle, supposedly inner circle, then we're selling out. Right.
Yeah.
Which is not true.
Yeah.
Well, not all the time.
Yeah, I'm in a black atheist group on Facebook, and it's not just this group, but I've learned, because I wasn't big into social media before I started doing a website and a podcast. Yo, black people use the word coon so fucking much.
Yeah.
They throw that around.
Coonery.
Coon. I'm like, first of all, I just would not use a word that every single person's using, but if you disagree with them on anything, you're a coon. Today,
yeah.
I won't even say what the topic was, and at least she got called out for it, but this girl started saying coon, and it had to do with a certain sexual position. And then
really?
People were like, how the fuck's that got to do with coonery? And this chick, they ended up calling her Hotep because... because she started talking about certain sexual positions are from the Caucasoids and it's a European. And everybody was like, shut the fuck up. Yeah, like, but that's some of that mentality. If you don't agree with me and you don't hate who I hate, you're a coon. And I just hate how coon's really a word that is used. So,
or if you don't act like me.
Oh, exactly. If you don't act like me.
If you don't keep yourself over here with me, then you got to be against me and you got to be the house nigga and you got to be the sellout, which is not the case.
Yeah.
But fuck it if you need to think so.
Exactly. Like, I don't give a fuck. Look, you could call me whatever the fuck you want. But the word, I've never seen a word used so much as coon. Maybe because I'm in a group that's black. Sorry, my friggin' thing went off.
I see.
You can hear it.
No.
Fuck, man, I got to turn that off. Hold on. But maybe because I'm in a group that's a bunch of black people, so what else are they going to call each other? But I don't get the appeal of calling each other coons left and right.
Why would you
now,
call each other that? That's
exactly.
Fucking ridiculous.
Exactly. It's like, it's literally saying house nigger, or it's literally saying jigaboo, or it's like, why are we calling each other names that...
basically,
that's
if you're being
show.
Ridiculous, I'm going to call you a jackass because that's what it is. We could do that, but we don't have to call each other. I mean, just just leave that alone.
Exactly.
It makes sense.
Exactly. And the fact that it's thrown around so much, to me, it's now meaningless. If someone said that, no one even blinks because everyone says it. It's not like if you say something to somebody that's like, maybe because it's the internet, though, and to me, internet arguments, I like debates on the internet, but personal attacks is so corny to me because it's meaningless.
Yeah.
Like, I had this woman, we were debating, and this is something I want to talk about. We were debating a post about pedophiles, shouldn't pedophiles be put down like dog? Because it was like, it had a meme like, if an animal killed a baby, you put it down. If a pedophile rapes and murders a child, you don't. And I was surprised how many, just like the gun debate, I was surprised how many black people are okay for capital punishment. And they were pushing it hard. And it came down to this woman started saying, well, if you're not for killing pedophiles, you must be a pedophile. And started literally saying, Ishmael, you're a pedophile. You fucked it. What? And I'm like, what? Like,
yeah.
You're really? And then the conversation was over. I literally was like, okay, I'm no longer addressing this person on this because it's just stupid.
Yeah,
just
like if someone called me a coon.
Exactly. If someone called me a coon, I'll say, well, I guess we're done having a discussion about these topics because what the fuck's that doing?
Right. Right. It's like, whatever, moving on.
You understand?
It's like one of those.
Yeah.
I get way the hell away from that kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But I guess that's the internet. Like, man, I can go off on tangents for days, but real quick, they like to paint atheists as assholes and atheists as assholes and this and this and that. And one of the main things I think why they think atheists are assholes, because a lot of interactions with atheists are on the internet. But the internet breeds being an asshole.
Yeah.
If I only knew Christians through the internet, Christians are assholes.
Yes. Well,
if I only knew feminists through the internet, feminists are assholes too. It's like, so I think we're quick to be like, don't be a dick. Like, fucking atheists like saying that to each other. Don't be a dick. Like, it's fucking profound. I love when they fucking don't be. First of all, shut the fuck up. Secondly, don't be. You could just say that to the internet, you stupid motherfucker, as if atheists hold the crown of being aggressive. And you know what I mean? And I'm as aggressive as I can be, but on the issue. You know what I mean? I'm not wasting my time.
Just not off on some other fucking.
Yeah, but I hate when atheists don't take into the whole account that it's the fucking internet. It's a lot of young people and even older people just getting behind a computer and letting
weirdos.
The bullshit fly.
Fuck it. Yeah. Some people just have nothing better to do and don't really stand behind anything they say. They just like to fight and fuck with people.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually don't want to get too into that because I actually think that I say actually a lot. I just realized.
It's all right.
But
it's okay.
I know it's nobody. I wasn't asking you to co-sign on my.
Whatever. Don't get smart. You know what? See, they do know that you're that way. You're people.
Yeah. So anyway, don't be a dick. Don't be a dick, Ishmael. You're going to mess it up for all of us.
Yeah.
You're going to ruin it.
That's what we do at making headway.
But anyway, let's
make sure.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. Everybody needs to shut up at work. And pretty much. But so let's move along to something else. So that's the end of the show, and sorry for it being such a short show. Like I said, I was flying solo tonight. It was a last second thing, and unfortunately, we were forced to record right before I needed to get it up, the day before, I should say. But I didn't just want to leave you guys with no show, so I decided to do it by myself, and hopefully it was entertaining/interesting enough for you guys to not feel completely robbed. Like I said, I love doing this and I wanted to give you guys at least something that can hold you over until Monday for our regular show. And then we can get caught up with everything we need to get caught up with. Kim and I had some things planned, but she came down sick. And yeah, I needed to get you guys something, even though it's a bonus show. I really like doing this. I love being able to reach out to people this way. So it was not, you know, it wasn't work for me. I'm not going to try and make it seem that way. Like, struggled to put this together. No, whatever it takes, I'm willing to do because I love it. I love when I know I'm reaching people, I'm getting feedback, I'm doing my small part in whatever this thing is. So that's going to be it for tonight. I'm not going to keep you guys on too long. So let me just say, stay angry, people. I'ma stay black, and we'll all just keep on ranting. Later.
You know, well, an atheist is someone who doesn't quite believe that there is somebody out there, some God out there.
Well, then to me, you're an idiot.